Paul's House and Storm's House. It's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Stay out of the Woolsworth.
I am Spartacus. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it's Tuesday evening, December the 2nd, 2009.
And this is show, what, is this 066?
It is, if you count the last one as a proper show.
And
yes.
I do. Hello, yeah. Storm. Missed
hey,
you last
Paul.
Week. We,
yeah,
not that I wasn't actually talking to you or anything. I just wasn't on the podcast. So in those
yeah.
terms, I missed you.
No, I kind of feel like it's been like a long time since we've done a real podcast.
It actually has been, because the time before that we were on a train, I believe.
And then the one two back from that, we were in a sauna. So it's
yeah.
sort of, we haven't had a lot of, I wouldn't call this the real podcast, because I like that we just do whatever the hell we want.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of to reset, to rejigger, process
yes.
it, align.
Totally jiggering.
Yeah.
So, numbers, minions.
255 minions, which means we have a new designation,
that's
which
right.
I have promptly forgotten.
It is the Stout-Hearted Menches.
That's right. If you don't get the reference, which you probably don't, it really refers to a song by a fellow by the name of Shooby Taylor. I think we've played him.
Well, he didn't originally do the song. But
no,
he made it immortal in our hearts.
At least the version that we were thinking of when we came up with the designation was Shooby Taylor.
Absolutely. So if you have not ever heard The Joy That Is Shooby Taylor, just go run a Google search and join us.
He's basically, imagine like if there was a rocket ship that performed scat, as
yes.
in like Ella Fitzgerald, but you took the gyroscope out of that rocket.
Yeah, he's probably the most amazingly talented, untalented person you've ever heard.
Oops, sorry, I was checking some technical things.
Oh, that's okay. You're still rolling, right?
I am rolling. I thought I heard sounds that I shouldn't have been hearing.
You missed my awesome line, though, didn't you?
No, that was a good one.
Oh.
That was great.
So anyway, Shooby Taylor, blah, blah, blah. Any new minions, 250 through 299 will now be the Stout-Hearted Menches. So there's
and
that.
If I were interested in minionhood, that would get me pretty excited. You know,
but
I'm a Shooby Taylor fan, so
yes.
that's just me.
Also, Storm has been killing it, and I mean killing it, on the website and on last week's podcast, for those who didn't hear, with his ongoing novella? What would you call it?
Let's go with novella. It does fit with like the 19th century, early 20th century even notion where, you know, even Dickens, they were writing these paid by the word.
Yeah,
I'm not saying this
yeah.
is Dickens. It is certainly not.
at least insofar as it's in installments.
Right. And maybe the names, naming conventions share a little bit, not
yeah.
Dickensian. Thank you, Paul, for suggesting that I read the first segment of
yes.
Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire.
For that is what we are discussing, if you've been living under a rock or haven't been following. It is Storm's literary work that I enjoy seeing new installments just as much as everybody else out there does.
And it's funny. And I don't know. I've always said I'm gonna write eventually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I haven't always been writing, but more exactly write fiction. And this isn't really what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's an awful lot of fun. And certainly when you're sitting there writing and you crack yourself up to tears,
yeah.
and there are a couple of moments there, and if you've read it, you probably know which parts they are,
mm-hmm.
That you can't stop doing it, although I kind of feel like, you know, I don't want it to go any further than it should. And,
right.
You know, I know where it's going, mostly. The characters surprise you as you go. You don't really know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen exactly. It's exciting.
It is. It's neat.
But yeah, the hope is to have enough written that I could put it up as like a book, like an ebook or even a physical book.
Like a Lulu book or something?
Yeah, a Lulu book. Will Wheaton has had good experience with them, and that seems like a real good way to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's
so
fun.
We left off way back when. I know a few people have mentioned they've been waiting for us to finish summing up our big, the UK portion of our Ireland UK tour from a couple of weeks back. And I believe
Wait.
We. Go ahead.
I was going to say when we last left Paul and Storm, they were on a train. I guess we were heading from. Where Scotland?
I believe we're heading from
London.
Either from Scotland to London or from London to Manchester. In either case, we got as far as, but not including our Manchester show.
Yeah, in fact, I would say that at the time we recorded that podcast, it was the low point of the trip, and not that it was ever horrible. Oh, it's so horrible to be out, you know, being a professional musician on a train getting served breakfast, but. You know, when you're on the road, it travel is hard, and the weather was kind of beaten on us a little bit, and the Scotland shows were fun, but
they were a little lightly attended because there was somebody fucked up, and it wasn't on our end, let's just say, or our management's end, and the Scotland shows did not get booked and advertised until pretty late in the game. So we do not blame the Scots, and we do not blame Team Paul and Storm or Team Jonathan Colton, but things being what they were a little lightly attended, which is a little disappointing.
So that's part of...
Go ahead.
Oh, just saying that's sort of part of why we were sort of in that mode. And,
exactly.
So, in fact, we were... as far as tours go, the thing that you may not really think about because it's not that sexy and romantic is just the financial part of doing a trip and planning trips. It's not just, you know, certainly what makes it worthwhile for us personally is the audiences and getting to do our thing out there. But at the end of the day, unless you're able to support yourself and sustain yourself, you're not going to be able to do it. And it's an even bigger risk when you have this expensive plane ticket and, you know, traveling, hotels, don't want to bore you. But at that point, there was a big question about if the trip was going to be profitable. And
I mean, it would be at least to a certain degree profitable, but it was a question of whether it would be sort of worth our while. Shall we say.
Right, like seriously thinking, you know, wow, you know, can we justify being away from our homes and families
for like 10 days,
for the amount of profit we were if on that current course we're expecting.
Yeah.
And I got to pat myself on the back. I don't like to do this much often
cuz it
but
hurts.
It does hurt and my arms don't move as much as they should. I don't know if it's a congenital thing. Anyway, I believe I predicted, and it may have been on that train, that we were going to experience the Manchester miracle.
Yes, that was the phrase that you invoked.
And the idea was... hold on.
Is your other line ringing?
That's my wife's cell phone. I may need to pick her up at the metro or something. Paul, why don't you describe
I will continue to describe.
Things. Right.
He didn't have a specific idea of what the Manchester Miracle would be. He just knew that somehow it was going to turn everything around. And I think I may have just lost Storm. I will find out soon enough. So I will continue to describe, and I'm going to condense a little bit because it was a long trip. But we took the train to Manchester. The show was in a place we had performed before, although it was a different. It was at the same complex.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, yeah.
I hate to interrupt you. That's that's Gillian, and she's at the metro stop, and Mr. Bus.
Gotcha.
we
so you're
can
gonna
either
need to go pick her up. Do you want to maybe pause and continue?
Yes.
Then why don't we plan to do that? And I'm going to hit the pause button in three.
If they're cool with that,
I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right. So, folks, we'll be back after I pick up my wife from the metro station.
That'll work. Pausing in three, two, one. Pause. I am rolling.
Rolling.
And in three and two and one.
And whoops, I missed that last and.
That's okay. And we are back. You are back. I have always been here.
And for all of you out there, it's like, whatever, you know? Okay, where did you leave off as I was talking to my wife?
We left off at the Manchester Miracle, and my boring detector was going off. Not that you are boring, but I don't want this whole recap to get ridiculously long, because we have many things to cover, and the 10-minute mark passed by like 30 seconds ago.
Oh, my God. Okay. So anyway, Manchester ended up being this ridiculously energetic show, and people stuck around for a long time afterwards and bought all kinds of everything. And really, from that point on, we had no worries that the whole trip was great, and we realized that, you know, and we certainly loved Scotland. I think we talked about Scotland on the last one, and Haggis and Edinburgh and Glasgow.
Yeah,
and
we have covered it.
Yeah. And then,
excuse me.
And then London.
So Manchester lifted our spirits tremendously.
Yes.
London, I have to say, the venue, Union Chapel, which, as you might guess, is an old converted chapel, very large, round building, stone and wood. Still a functioning church, as I understand it.
Yes.
Which had a sound system put in and a large stage, and just absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous place, the kind of which there are almost none of in the States.
And they had a piece of Plymouth rock just sort of above one of the doorways, which was kind of cool. And of course, it's a cliche thing for Americans to say everything's, you know, really old there, and you think things are old there, and they say that's not old. And that's the kind of thing it was, like this rock from the 17th century. You know, no big deal. We've got, you know, bones in our backyard from the year 5. but gorgeous sounding place.
Yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful show, wonderful place. We also, we said, tooting our own horns a little bit, thanks to the machinations and help of our good friend Ken Plume, about whom enough nice things can never be said. Hello, Plumey. We got to hang out with, no hyperbole when I say this, one of my comedy idols.
Yes, an absolute hero.
Terry Jones, from the Monty Python troupe. We got to spend some time with him, and he's an absolute sweetheart, as wonderful and interesting a man as you might think he is, and then some. And that was really a real treat part of the trip, the kind of, you know, like, I can't believe our lives sometimes kind of moment.
Yeah.
And actually, I was going to say, you know, because we talk all the time about how I'm a star fucker, blah, 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 and I joke about it. But I've reconciled myself with it a little bit. Adam Savage, in one of his presentations at Woodstock, put it much better, where it's not that I have a need to meet famous people all the time.
Yeah.
So much as it is, I want to be friends with the people I admire, was the phrase that he used. And that absolutely sums it up for me.
Well, I think we've described it that way before. And
did we?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, I wouldn't say that now we're best buds or anything with Terry Jones, but certainly I felt like it was just the range of discourse was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, of course, there was comedy talk.
We spent a very pleasant evening together.
So
that was awesome and rock sores.
Another.
Oh, and we said hi to him for all of you.
Oh, we did.
You know, all our fans and listeners said hi, and he says hi back.
And he was very impressed by that, we can tell you.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Another little highlight, or it was for me, we haven't really talked about it, but we did a sort of a scavenger hunt, a treasure hunt, when we had a day off in London. And
this was inspired by who was it that has done this in the past? Was it they might be Giants or?
I don't remember what
Colton Say had done it.
I don't remember what band it was. I think I actually proposed us doing this specifically, but it was it's well established that we and I in particular love Jaffa cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were gifted many, many Jaffa cakes and Wisp bars and many awesome things.
Yes.
Far more than we could actually carry home with us. Literally, there was probably a suitcase is worth of Jaffa cakes alone. And I don't think I'm exaggerating.
And I think that's also a front runner for the podcast title, by the way.
Suitcase full of Jaffa cakes?
Suitcases worth of Jaffa cakes, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And so we decided we would take just four packages of Jaffa cakes and travel about the city and hide them in public places and... Mm-hmm. As we were sort of making it up as we went along, and we ended up marking the boxes, and then Jonathan...
Yeah, we signed them.
We signed them and numbered them, and then Jonathan had his iPhone with him, as he does at all times, and we ended up placing them, and then Jonathan would take a picture and post it on Twitter. And also, I guess he posted the geolocation information.
Yep.
And then we were off on our way, and we took the tube out to some outlying areas. Well, not outlying, just Notting Hill. If you're not from London, it's sort of like it's still close to the city, but a little bit more neighborhoody. And three of the four boxes were found.
Yep.
Well, two of them by the same person.
Of course, and the fourth one I'm sure was found, just not necessarily by somebody who knew we were doing this thing.
Right. So if you live in the Notting Hill area, I don't remember which library, public library it was, but there's a newspaper rack in that library, and you can score yourself some totally free Jaffa cakes.
Absolutely.
Oh,
and that was a blast. That was neat and technological and cool that people actually, you know, did it and went and found the Jaffa cakes and posted pictures of themselves finding the Jaffa cakes and stuff.
And then Bristol was our last stop, a town in the west of England, the southwest. Lovely town.
Bath. Lovely town. It's funny. Some people were slagging on Bristol a bit on the Twitter when we would mention it, and people would say, "Oh yeah, there's a great shopping center there or something." I got the impression, it could be entirely wrong, for our stateside friends, Bristol seems sort of like the Pittsburgh of the UK. Not that it necessarily is a steel town or has three rivers, but just sort of has a reputation as sort of a second tier city or the butt of jokes kind of city.
See, I never got a true feel for it. Like, it was one of these towns where we literally rolled in on the rails, and the venue and hotel were both literally a two-minute walk from the rail station. So what we actually saw of the city, to us, was rather charming. This very, to us, old and certainly historic rail station, very, I don't know, railroady-looking station. And the venue was actually under the ramp that leads up to the station. So it was really hard to say.
Very much like a Beatles Cavern Club kind of feel.
Exactly. Gorgeous
venue.
Or at least
the way we imagine it would be. Yeah.
Right. Right. I felt like a mop top in Bristol. I did.
Yeah.
Even though it's
you were all Ringo at that show. Usually you're like Paul or John, but that show you were kind of Ringo.
Well, he was the real fan favorite. Like, of any one Beatle, I believe he had the most dedicated fans.
Yep.
Dedicated as in dedicated fans of his, not that the fans of John, Paul, and George were not dedicated to them. No, they certainly were.
I know what you're saying. Yep. Yep.
So anyway, check,
so that was
check
the UK,
plus.
And we had a blast.
Check plus plus.
Check plus plus. Wow.
Yeah.
So there's that, and we're at almost 20 minutes. So you know what? This is going to be a long podcast.
Yeah,
you know this already, having downloaded it, but we're declaring now it's going to be a long podcast.
Well, we could
have a lot to talk about.
Well, we could punk people. We could punk you and do a podcast.
Oh, that's true, and just put in a bunch of silence and stuff.
Yeah, for like 20 minutes. It's not this podcast. We promise you that.
Nope.
Unless you see the podcast is like 2 hours, because I know we're not going that long.
Yeah, no, that would be dumb.
Wow, I have a few things written down.
Yeah, I do too. I bet we have a lot of the same things.
Yes.
You go first.
I'm going to...
Just pick one.
I'm going to pull the foreshadowing card.
Okay,
so as many of you probably know, last year we did a special project in December called the 25 Days of Newman, in which we released a brand new song every day until Christmas in the style of Randy Newman. And all of them.
And of course, the joke of the bit was it was the same, you know, our whole Randy Newman joke that it's the same background music and melody each time, and we just switched up the lyrics for different movies each 25 songs,
except
for the last one, which was a new song.
Right, a totally original song, and some people have said, "Are you doing that again this year?" The answer is no, but we are going to be doing a project. In the same vein,
holiday project.
Don't want to tip it off too much, but it will have a common thread, a common theme, and it will be.
We're announcing it next week, I believe. We're announcing it,
and it will involve multiple songs. We're not entirely sure how many yet, but it'll certainly be a lot of songs at once. And other than that. I really think people are going to love this. Some people are probably going to hate it.
We're pretty excited about it, though. You know, the haters can just go suck eggs, because this is going to be a lot of fun.
The haters just make the likers that much likier.
That's right.
Frankly. So
likier.
Yeah.
I like that word.
Yeah, it's
I like you that word.
It's the Vogues. I think writing like a 12-year-old is starting to creep into my speech habits.
So there's that. There's the mystery holiday project, which you will find out about next week.
And one other project that we've been involved with that should be coming out soon to keep your eye on and is a great site to visit besides is Coverville, which is a podcast that, as you would expect from the name, is dedicated to bands who do cover songs. So we'll let them handle the announcement on that formally, but that's another thing to look forward to. So
Now, jeteing off of the holiday theme, we also just released a brand new recording of a song that we've had around for about a year, year and a half, and just had never officially recorded, our song Grandma's Christmas Dinner, which is now available on the Paul and Storm website. You can find it there, and I'll probably tack it onto the end of this web podcast broad thingy. I'm glad we finally got that one out, that albatross off our necks. Not that there was anything particularly difficult about it, we just sort of never put it on tape, so to speak.
It's sort of, I don't know, there are several other songs that are kind of like that we've done in performance or done now and then. There's actually another one of our holiday songs we've never bothered recording, Dexter, the Credit Debt Badger.
Dexter.
If I'm feeling plucky, I'll take that one on tomorrow. Anyway.
Mayhaps.
Paul.
And if not, there's always next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I was going to say, since we were on the holiday theme, I wanted to go with one of the Twitter suggestions from Mini Totoro, who asked, if we could pick one holiday carol to erase from all memory, what would it be? And also, what about the one essential carol?
Which is
an interesting puzzler.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I know exactly what I would erase from the world's memory.
What would that be?
The remake by Madonna of Santa Baby.
That is so funny that you say that.
That should be plunged to the bottom of the sea. Not Madonna herself.
That's so funny you say that. That's entirely my choice as well.
Yeah.
And even though it's not technically a carol, fuck it. It's just such a...
Yeah.
Especially when the original version by Eartha Kitt is so great.
And that's what bothers me about it, is, you know, it'd be like remaking Stairway to Heaven. And you could do it, like there's a couple of sort of jokey bands who've done it like in a Wild Country style. I think Madonna didn't go far away enough from the original. She made it kind of cutesy and Betty Boopy.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I want Sex Kitten in my Santa
Baby.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, that's...
Absolutely.
Well, unanimous decision on that one.
Yeah, how about that? Now then, the one essential carol, I thought about this a while before the podcast, and I realized that I shouldn't have had to think for a while, because there is only one best Christmas carol, or holiday carol.
All right.
And that is Silent Night.
Well, you know... Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, granted, the content, say what you will about the religious content of the song, I think that it is just an unspeakably beautiful song, both chords and melody-wise, and it's saying very pretty, lovely thoughts. So regardless of your religious disposition, I find that... to be a wonderful carol that I think everybody, when it is done right, especially, I'm not even going to tell you when it's done right, you just have to know it. I can't think of a specific version, but it's just a beautiful song, and everybody should appreciate it the way that I do. So there. Believe what I believe, everybody, goddammit.
And that's funny, because I do think it's a beautiful song, and I grew up Jewish, sort of. And I grew up enough not Christian that any song that has religious lyrics, it always, like if you're in a setting and singing carols, though I could appreciate the song, it always felt funny in my mouth to sing it. And actually singing
that's
it.
That's another front runner for the name of this podcast, by the way.
Although I was in a chorale in college and singing just a huge range of music, wonderful chorale, and we did it in the original German, not a beautiful language, but when it was singing it like that, where I'm not having to think about what I'm saying, I think brings it closer to the purity of the message. Well, some would say, no, without the lyrics, you're not getting the message. But for me, sort of the feeling of the music, the feeling it's supposed to evoke. So on that count, I would certainly agree.
Yep. Yep.
Let's see.
Your turn.
Oh, okay. So in our little story about the Jaffa hunt, one of the important details was the fact that Jonathan carries an iPhone.
Oh, right.
In between our last real, in between the train podcast and now, there have been some developments on the smartphone front in Paul and Stormland.
This is true.
It was kicked off, I'm not going to go into boring land, but there were some particular reasons why we had to get phones right now. So we had to make a decision now with what was available now. And Paul, you was it just 2 weeks ago now?
2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah. Got myself an iPhone, as did my wife and oldest daughter. Got ourselves 3 iPhones. And, joined the throng, so to speak. And I've been very, very happy with it so far. Granted, I haven't had it very long, but it's a lovely, wonderful toy. And, of course, I spent the past 2 to 3 weeks goading and baiting Storm, who has been both privately and publicly dithering and debating and reconsidering and weighing his choices, and every day it was sort of a different choice in the lead.
Yeah, it was a neck and neck race the whole time, and that's the type of geek I am. You know, or one of the types. I am most certainly, I analyze to the nth degree, especially when it comes to anything technology and something that, you know, I buy something like this only once every 2 to 5 years, or, you know, I'm not someone who just buys the latest all the time. So right. I put a lot of time into it. And indeed, I'll just go ahead and say it out front that I ended up choosing and I have purchased the Motorola Droid. And I'll boil down the essentials as to why. And I'll state at the outset, as far as just the experience itself, hands down, I like the iPhone more. You know, just like the fluidity of it, and certainly the apps and whatnot. And the thing that ultimately pushed me over, there were a lot of features that the Droid has the iPhone doesn't, and vice versa. That was all a wash. And really, it was the whole network issue, and not the stupid commercials that Verizon has been running. That had no effect, thank you very much. But just from the experience of seeing Jonathan with the phone, and not everywhere, but enough times having trouble either with dropped calls or data. And I had a T-Mobile phone for a while that dropped calls like crazy. And for me, the feeling was equivalent to being stuck in traffic. Like, the level of frustration.
Which, for those who don't know Storm, there is very little that Storm hates more than being stuck in traffic. It's really a visceral hate that rises up in this otherwise gentle giant of a man.
I think it's the price I pay for the rest of my patience. Like, I'm patient about everything in the world except for traffic. And I know that it there's a chance I could still be bitten in the ass by this line of reasoning, because indeed I was aware of the fact that they came out with a report that said there's so much traffic on AT&T's network from the iPhone that if there are suddenly a ton of people using these droids and whatnots on Verizon, that hey, might have the same problems. But I'm willing to bet that because Verizon has staked so much of their reputation on the quality of their network and service, that they will make sure that that doesn't happen. So even though I feel like, yeah, I am giving up some of the experience I would like to have, I'm getting enough of the experience that I want. Oh, and the whole Google integration thing. I dig that.
Right. That's pretty cool.
But we'll see. The phone is not yet in my hands.
But it will be soon. So feel free to chime in, listeners. Tell us which one of us or if either or both of us made the right or wrong choice. Or, and, you know, and you're going to do it anyway. So chime in about your favorite smartphone.
And even more importantly, and why it's awesome. And even more importantly than the phones, tell us about the apps you like, whether it's on the Android platform, it's iPhone, or just in general, what kind of app. I know both of us have been researching our apps like crazy. But we want to know because we're going to use the snot out of these things.
We sure enough is. Let's see. Oh, okay. You know what? I wasn't going to give into this, but what the hell? Near the end of the podcast here, Totes the Plaid has been bugging us literally for weeks to talk about hypnosis. Okay, here is what I have to say about hypnosis. Hypnosis is horseshit. That's all I have to say about hypnosis. Storm, anything to add?
It is horseshit. I'll say that modern advertising is the closest thing that we have to true hypnosis. That's it.
Okay, there we go. Happy now, Totes? Let's see. You know, I think that's as good as any place to stop, unless you have other pressing issues.
Nothing pressing. Some cool stuff that can save for later. I like where we've been. I like where we are.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't have our schedule up in front of me. We, of course, have shows this week in Philadelphia and Annapolis and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
All of which are either sold out or have standing room only available or are close to selling out. We also have a show next week in Brooklyn at the Music Hall of Williamsburg, which is going to be a blast. Coming in 2010, we have a bunch of shows coming up. They're not all on the schedule yet, but I'm told they are all essentially confirmed. We are going... you know, among other places, San Francisco,
yeah.
Phoenix, I was told, just got confirmed today.
Oh, right. Florida? Florida, is Florida confirmed?
Los Angeles. Florida, yeah, we got Florida's all confirmed, I think, and Atlanta. Los Angeles will be coming back, too, for a two-night stint at Largo.
Yeah.
We're going back to San Diego. We are going. It is not 100%, but it is 99% sure we will be in Vancouver.
Yeah.
In, I believe, February, along with Seattle and Portland. Watch the website for announcements for all those shows very soon.
Oh.
You can also find out how to join the Brigade of Minions at paulandstorm.com.
Which you should. And I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Watson, come here. I need you.
Go do things.
The family in the SUV on Christmas Day and headed off to Grandma's house 100 miles away. For Grandma cooked a great big Christmas dinner for us all. She's done it every single year since I was very small. Now all her life our Grandma's always been a bit confused, forgetting where she parked the car and wearing mismatched shoes. We thought that it was cute at first, but lately she's been getting worse. The final straw was when we saw the dinner she produced. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. She crammed him full of yams and served him up with mashed potatoes. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. Uncle Al threw up and Auntie Patty screamed with fright. But I was really starving, so I snuck a tiny bite. That yappy little bastard always drove the family mad. But with some chestnut stuffing on the side, he's not half bad. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. Turns out that Chardonnay's the perfect wine with Cocker Spaniel. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog.
Sing it, Grandpa.
This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog. We don't know where the cat is, but dessert is on its way. This Christmas, Grandma cooked the dog.